Good day, dear listeners, and thanks for joining us on yet another edition of Today's Woman. And on today's quote of the day, if your dreams do not scare you, they are not big enough. Welcome to Today's Woman on Foundation Radio. When we come back, we discover our guest. Today's Woman is a talk show on Foundation Radio where we give advantage to women to talk about their achievements, talk about how they were able to break barriers, most especially cultural and gender barriers, and how they are succeeding and impacting their society and their country so that other women can as well see, emulate, and get involved in development activities. And on the show today, we have as guest Bisivia Atanga. Good day to you, Bisivia.
Good afternoon, Ranibel.
And thanks for joining us on this edition of Today's Woman.
Thank you. The pleasure is mine.
All right. To begin with, let's find out about who you are. Let's have, first of all, an introduction of who you are, actually.
As you rightly said, my name's Bisivia Atanga, and I'm a mother.
Yeah.
I'm a teacher. I'm a caterer. And...
You're forgetting Mboskuda.
I can't forget Mboskuda.
Okay, you're still coming.
With that.
Okay.
I'm a communications officer, journalist by training, so I work with Mboskuda as their communications officer.
Okay. Yeah. And just to inform our listeners that I was privileged to be a student in the School of Journalism at National Polytechnic. So she's into so many things. She's into catering, as she rightly said. She's a communication officer. Okay. And so she's going to be talking to us today mainly about multitasking. Yeah, because we discover she's into so many things at the same time. As a mother, as a communication officer, as a caterer, and we'll be finding out from her how she's able to blend all of this together. And before we come to blending, how you blend your many occupations or things you do together, let's first of all discover if there are some struggles or challenges you face as a woman taking up multitask positions.
Well, The first thing I want to say is that society will always tag you, especially when you are like myself, if I can put it as such. I hear from friends tell me, you are too strong. So doing multitasking becomes something frightful in society's eye. They start looking at you as though you are too strong, that kind of thing, in quote. But it's not about being too strong. It's about having a goal, having a journey in mind, asking yourself real concrete questions and trying to act in a way that you can answer those questions for yourself. Because the truth is, if you ask me how do I manage it, I will tell you, first, I'm very poised.
Poised?
Yes.
Okay.
You have to be poised, that is being focused.
Yeah.
You have to have a goal in your mind. You have to be able to tell yourself that in one day, I want to be able to achieve this. In 2 days, in 3 days, in a year, in a month, this is what I hope to achieve. Then you have to have some people around you look up to. Meaning that these people, we can call them role models.
Yeah.
You have to have role models you see and you admire and you crave to be like.
Yeah.
Not in a negative sense, but in a positive sense. Mm. It's like having somebody, have my own role models. I have people who shaped me in almost everything I'm doing that I looked up to. And I hoped that one day I could plunge in like them and do things the way I saw them do. For instance, being a journalist came from admiring somebody like Ansan, way back from primary school. I mean, when she just came back from Nigeria and television just started in Cameroon, I was in primary school then, you understand?
Yeah.
And then I used to see this very sleek, beautiful woman, see her confidence, the way she exerted a lot of confidence in what she was doing, mm-hmm. and the way she used to talk, her articulation skills and every other thing. And I was like, at that tender age, it's not like today. Maybe they don't ask our young children of today what they hope to become in future.
Yeah.
But I remember in class 5, they gave us a composition topic. That's how it was called. A composition topic, and said, answer the question, what do you want to become in future?
Mm-hmm.
And the simple thing that came to my mind was this lady I used to see on TV. Then she used to do The World This Week, and then she used to carry reports in Minute by Minute by late Akwanka Jonjifo. And as young as I was...
You already had a role model.
Yes, I had a role model. I didn't even know the name at that time. Mm-hmm. But I just remember admired that it. I used to admire mm-hmm. her. And I told myself, well, this should be something. I mean, talking like that, over the air, being shown on television, you know, that kind of thing, a young child's mind. But that is where the seed was planted for me. Then I started seeing, trying to dig around me, because it's about having a dream and asking yourself if you have the talent for.
Okay.
Seeing that you have characteristics that can go mm-hmm. with that idea you have in your mind. I remember as a young kid, I used to like a lot of storytelling. I used to listen a lot to people tell stories. Then when I started knowing how to read, I loved novels to this day. Oh. I love novels. I love wow. reading. And that was just the little bits and pieces that I would say blended to me becoming a journalist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we are equally asking that with your passion, with your drive and everything you hope to become,
mm-hmm.
was society or say your parents or whoever,
mm-hmm.
Were there any form of obstacle to you becoming what you are today?
I'll tell you something. Sincerely speaking, when I went to secondary school, and then it was time for me to get to high school where you have to decide what to do.
Mm-hmm.
I decided on taking on A5. A5 had just been introduced. That is philosophy, history,
and literature.
And I became so, so critical after going for that course.
Mm-hmm.
And then it planted another seed in me that perhaps being a lawyer would be a good one.
Yeah.
They used to show LA Law around that time, and I was fascinated with Susan Day. She was a lead character in it. And my parents, that is when I had a feel of branding.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Mm-hmm. Because my father was not comfortable with me becoming a lawyer. He said it wasn't a woman's thing. I was already proving to be too strong.
Tough.
And he's just not comfortable.
Really?
Yes.
From your own father?
Yes, from my own father. He wasn't comfortable with me becoming a lawyer. So the next other option was, okay, I'm going to become a journalist. And he said, okay, no problem, I can manage.
Did you have brothers?
Yeah, I had brothers. They could do anything they wanted to do, but with me...
Without any restrictions.
No restrictions, but with me, there were lots and lots of restrictions. I really cannot tell exactly what my father meant by he wasn't comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Because, bet to me, the best thing I ever did was becoming a journalist.
Yeah, he was limiting you, but then you have you are loving where you are.
I'm loving where I am.
So can we say your father... Or your parents were, to an extent, they tried to limit you from pursuing...
I would say so, candidly. And it's not the first case scenario. It's a Cameroonian thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It is the way our society is. We are in the patriarchal society. There is a lot of male dominance, and they always want to, put the women down there. I have the feeling that my father... seeing me, in quotes, being too strong, I don't know if he was seeing me as some kind of a threat, or he was seeing me as a threat to society, or society a threat to me, or whatever. I don't know what he meant by that, but I followed what he wanted,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't go in for law. But I don't regret going in for journalism.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he gave me opportunity to do a bit of gender studies way back mm-hmm. in UB there and things like that. So he kind of met my desires mm-hmm. from childhood, so it's okay.
Well, it's very normal. We can say parents are always in the habit of choosing for their children, choosing and stuff like that. So now that you're becoming a mother and a parent, so do you think you can limit your child because she's female or because she's a woman? Or because I might want to look at it this way too. Maybe your father was thinking you becoming too strong, you might be a threat to your would-be husband. You might be a threat to your community. I don't know. But you know, society usually attaches to things like that. So now being a parent as well, would you prefer some particular kind of jobs or career for your girl child? If not, why?
Not at all. The only thing that should limit anybody from becoming whatever you want to become is if you don't have the skills for. Yes.
If you were not born for that.
Yes. If you were not born for that, okay, fine. Then you look at yourself squarely, ask yourself questions, what am I able to do? And then discover your talents and use it. If you have the aptitude for whatever career choice, go for it.
Okay.
Yeah, go for it. If my daughter is showing interest in becoming, let me say, a sergeant, yeah, military, that kind of thing, and that's what she loves, where would I take it from her? That's her desire. That is where she thinks she can serve this state well. That is how she thinks she can offer her services well to this nation. Fine. Okay, she don't. I refuse her from becoming a surgeon. So whose daughter should go to?
Maybe men. Boys should. Maybe boys should become surgeons. Surgeons or...
Policemen
or pilots.
Not at all. I tell my women, you are my student. I'm sure you remember what I used to tell you people. Be strong.
Yeah.
Do it. Just tell yourself you
can. I can do it.
Work hard and there you go. Yeah. Today I'm so proud that you are interviewing me.
Yeah, you should be proud. It's always parents' happiness, joy. I remember they always say, even in the quarters, that a child who passes the GC, it's to the joy of the parents.
Exactly.
The parents even shout and rejoice more than the children themselves.
Exactly.
And so it gives some form of joy and fulfillment when you see your children succeeding. And to see the fruit of your labor, because if if you didn't teach me well, or I wouldn't be here, or I would just be some sort of an unprofessional journalist. I remember you equally used to ask all of us also, who is your role model? You must tell me who you want to become. You can't say you are, you want to be a journalist and you don't have a particular journalist that you are looking up to. And that molded me. I used to follow CNN reporters. I used to follow even the BBC. But
and that is it. It's as easy and as simple as that. You can break a lot of barriers just taking baby steps, you know. Taking baby steps. You know, I used to have a professor who used to tell me way back in UB, Dr. Eno Tanjong, Professor Eno Tanjong, he used to say degrees by themselves are scraps of paper. It means nothing if you can't impart onto your society, then it was as good as you didn't go to school. So we should be able to feel that you went to school, you achieved something. You should be able to impact however way. And I tell you sincerely, I'm talking to the women out there. If you've gone to school and you have come back and the story is, oh, there are no jobs in Cameroon, whoa, one more day and all of that, as we usually mourn. I tell you, you are wasting precious time. You can create a job for yourself.
Certainly.
Yes. Look at yourself. The good thing about, I'm a Christian, the good thing about knowing the God I serve is that he gave each and every one of us a gift.
Yeah.
A big gift. All it takes is for you to identify your own gift. Is it hairdressing? Don't say it's a menial job. There is no menial job. I tell you sincerely, if today it shows that it is pop-up and beans because I need my children to eat well, I will go for it. It doesn't change Bisivia from being whom she is. I'm looking for bread and water for my children. That is all I tell myself. But I discover that so many women, so many young women have this stigma around them. Unfortunately, the stigma these days is not coming from society again. It's coming from within. People have that kind of, I don't know if how I can call it, but you don't feel confident. You can't face your world squarely for what it is. You are afraid. You are afraid of name calling. Mm-hmm. What will my friends say? My friends will laugh at me. Those things are just killers for nothing. Mm-hmm.
Can I equally succeed and things like that?
If you were even asking the question that way, can I succeed? It's even good. But often, what would they ask? What would our neighbor see if she sees me frying pop-off? That's stigma.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that you shouldn't bother about the kind of image you are giving out there to society. But I'm saying that you can't keep yourself indoors, clutch yourself, limit your potentials because you are afraid of what X or Y will say about what you are doing. Degrees by themselves, HNDs by themselves, PhDs by themselves are all scraps of papers if you cannot use it to work.
Yeah, I remember they equally told us one time that in any place you find yourself, be it in the market or selling the puff-puff you talk about.
Sell as if no other seller exists.
Yeah, and if you do it diligently, people start admiring you in your puff-puff business. You become a role model in the puff-puff business.
Exactly.
Because you were able to do it with focus and you were making it big.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, let's talk about your driving force or your motivation. What actually pushes you to get involved? For example, what made you to decide to start doing catering?
Okay. I grew in a house where my late mother, my mother who brought me up, my adoptive mother, she's of late, she used to do cooking.
Okay.
She was a domestic science, if I can call it that, food and nutrition teacher. And I picked up my skills like that. I practically cooked almost every day from when I became a child who could cook. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
I started cooking like that, just in the house, just to say, okay, today is your own day for cooking. I cook and everybody eats. But my mother saw it in me that I was picking the skills so well. I quite remember when I was in the University of Boya, my cooking skills helped me a lot. Boya used to be very expensive and it wasn't easy. It's not like today you have all the money exchange and all of that you can transfer money and stuff like that, or through your phone money,
mobile money
and all of that. We didn't have those things. If Jano was not in existence, all of us would have died because they used to send our money through Jano and they would take the pens and write all the names of the students who have a parcel. Mm-hmm. So you can go to my 17 six other times and you don't even have your name on that board.
Oh.
So life became a little challenging at that stage. And then I asked myself, "Beg, all the skills that I've picked up from my mother, I could do cakes at that time. I could do ching ching, donuts, all of these things that you do with flour."
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay. I was living at Press Hostel, a mini city of close to like 280 rooms or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, I'll be getting up early, do fish pie, move only around my quarter cell and see how it goes.
Wow.
And better me, I never staffed in Boya. And that was the beginning of the catching thing.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Then when children now were having like parties and whatever and they needed cake for their money-making ventures, that kind of thing, where you go and cut cake and give money, those kind of things.
You were always there.
I would say, I can do cakes. Then my skills for cakes
grew.
Yeah, just like that. Then when I started working formally as a journalist, I didn't have time for catering because my job was very tasking.
Mm-hmm.
But then the contract for this job ended in 2012. I had worked for this company for 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of ended abruptly like that. no preview, nothing. Mm-hmm. And this was me. I had already known a certain kind of life.
Yeah, I can
and
imagine.
And so many people were looking up to me. I was taking care of so many people, education-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, this job is ending. Is it that I should tell these people to pull out of school, or how am I going to manage it? I quite remember losing a job is one of the hardest things anybody can experience, especially for a woman.
Mm-hmm.
But I told myself that I'm not yet dead. I'm alive.
Mm-hmm.
What next? It is true. Cameroon is difficult. So what I'm saying today is exactly what I passed through. I told myself in Bamenda, it is not easy to get the kind of job I had. You understand?
Yeah.
And I'm not even ready to start that I'm looking for a job. You might not find one.
Yeah.
People were looking up to me. I had lots of responsibilities that had to do with money. And the only other thing I could think of was, why don't I get into catering?
Yeah, what you started back in school.
And I started small. I tell you, growing has a lot to do with the kind of people you commune with.
Okay.
Because there are some people I will call readily here who were my ladders. Because they were there when I needed them.
Mm-hmm.
The first person who gave me a catering job is a junior sister.
Wow.
Is a friend, Comfort Musa.
Mm-hmm.
She's the first person who told me that losing this job means nothing. We have a little seminar coming up. It's just 30 people. It's nothing much.
Mm-hmm.
And we are just ready to give you 2,000 francs for lunch. That mm-hmm. is it. And I cooked for these 30 people. And bet you me, I've never relented my effort. Everything I have in my catering business, I don't own a place. I'm mobile.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a station place because I work.
Mm-hmm.
And I equally teach. So my catering springs up from time to time.
Yeah.
And when it comes, I embrace it. And it comes because of a lot of networking.
Yeah, I was really
the truth about business is the service you render.
Mm-hmm.
How you render it, you attract at least one person.
Yeah.
When I'm offering a service, whether I cook for a wedding or I do have a wedding cake or something, sometimes they might not have paid me much.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell myself that this is the opportunity I have to sell
yourself.
Myself. Mm-hmm. So no matter how much you give me, at that level, I'm not looking at how
the
small
pay.
You paid me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at that opportunity of exposure.
Yeah.
That is just it.
And that is something that many people always miss.
Yes, you miss out on that.
People think so much about the immediate, the immediate benefit and forget about the long term.
You should always think of the long term. If you are in a business,
mm-hmm.
especially a business such as mine, it has to do with people's stomach. So, mm-hmm. are you cooking the food in a way that the next customer will eat? Somebody will just taste and ask, who cooked this meal?
Mm-hmm.
That is it. It is your skills that sell you. I mm-hmm. don't have any signposts anywhere. I don't own a restaurant, but I have my own network of clients.
Yeah, and that is...
And it's just spiral like that. Because of the service you render.
Mm-hmm.
It's as easy as that. So I take this opportunity to tell every young woman, please don't say that she's saying it because after all she has worked and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't sit and wait for anybody to employ you. You can be your own employer, and I tell you that's the best kind of job.
Mm-hmm.
Of my three things I do, I love cooking.
Wow.
That is where I'm master at king.
Mm-hmm.
I am the one who decides everything
mm-hmm.
at that level. I don't answer any yes sir to anybody.
Yeah.
I answer yes sir only to myself.
Mm-hmm.
So people should shift a bit from I'm looking for a job and
start thinking
of creating one for themselves.
Well, mm-hmm. well, we are going to come back to this, your job and everything concerned. We'll talk about the other things that you do. But before we come to that, let's have a break. To catch our breath, and when we come back, we continue with our discussions.
La cryothérapie n'est pas encore accessible à tous, mais le sida existe toujours, pour les pauvres comme pour les riches. Alors, prudence, fidélité, abstinence.
Je n'ai pas de force d'éradiquer le mal, un seul charbon ne suffit pas pour faire un
peut donner espoir et lumière. Synergie, synergie africaine.
Thank you.
Merci, Sera.
Welcome back, listeners. You are still on Today's Woman on Foundation Radio. And before we went on break, we have been talking with Bisivia Atanga, and she has been throwing light on the skills of the benefits of networking, the benefits of taking action and not waiting to be employed or to get a job. And Bisivia, we are going to continue talking about you and about the things you do. We just heard about how you were able to get involved in your catering business and how you get fulfillment and growth from that. Let us talk about the other things you do. I think this one's, you have employers. You are not the boss. Somebody the boss. Employed Definitely. You. Yeah. So can you tip us how you were able to get such jobs and how you use them to impact the people around you?
The truth is, being a journalist is it's a gift. I refer to it as a gift to me mm-hmm. from God, because a journalist should not starve. If you are a journalist and you are a good journalist, then you should not starve. Because through your skills, you can use your skills and you reach whatever height you want to reach.
Mm-hmm.
That is, if you know where you are going, if it comes from your heart to serve using your voice or your pen,
mm-hmm.
then you can break the skies loose. The truth is, how did teaching come about? I was privy to be a participant in one seminar just to groom skills of journalists in town and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And we had as the trainer for that workshop, the current deputy director of CRTV, Emmanuel Wongibe.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Emmanuel Wongibe was the one who was trying to grill us, give us some tips and stuff like that. And I quite remember in that seminar, it was so nice because it was just fitting squarely to what I like.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very participatory and very vocal.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how somebody took note of me.
Wow.
In the person of Gideon Tucker.
Mm-hmm.
And he just went outside during break and called me and was like, "Who are you? I don't know you, but you seem to be so good." And I was like, "Okay, thank you." I knew him from the radio,
mm-hmm.
that I've been hearing a Gideon Tucker, but I had never, you know,
really been close.
So he was like, "Can you teach?" And I was like, "I have never taught anywhere, but anyway, I can try." And then they were looking for lecturers for National Polytechnic, Bamboo. He was the head of department. I didn't even know then that he was the head of department. So he told me that I should just come, let's see how we can work.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I went there and he said, "I want you to teach in National Polytechnic." And I was like, "What makes you think I can teach? And he just kind of, "No, you can teach. Try." And that was it.
Wow.
I went and I met the proprietor, and the next thing I knew was, come on Tuesday, you have
class.
Yeah, you have class. And I tell you, I was
you never felt you did not feel defeated at any point or any form of restraint, because I know some people say, "I've never done that though. Do you want to kill me?"
Yeah. There was that little scare.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, if this papa has seen something, I don't know what he has seen.
Mm-hmm.
And if he is telling me with a lot of conviction, mm-hmm. then this should be my push. You don't expect God to come and stand in front of you and say that I am God.
Yeah.
You will never see God. You see God from people.
Mm-hmm.
When you listen to what people say, take it that is the voice of God talking. Mm-hmm. I don't know what he saw in me, but he definitely saw something in me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in my own little way, that was, to me, that was God talking.
Mm-hmm. And you quickly embraced it.
Yeah, so I went and that was it. And I really, really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
It was scary at first because I will tell you sincerely, I started in 2008 as a lecturer there. And I taught people who were older than me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was small, skinny, and it was not easy. My very first day when I got into class, the class was just rowdy. Everybody was just like... And then when I said, "Please, can you sit down?" Everybody was looking at me. And I could see from their faces, it was like, who do you want to? You know, that kind of mm-hmm. thing. But I have a strong voice. I used it.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody calmed down.
And listened to you.
Yeah.
And most often, they always tell women to be vocal, to be active.
Yeah.
You don't know who might see you and get interested, and that's where your success begins.
Yeah.
I equally attended one seminar. They said your destiny might just be tied to one contact.
Just one.
Yeah. True. It means if you are shying away, if you are staying behind, they might not notice you and you miss so many things.
I would say something. What kills most of us, especially women, is something I dread to even call. Fear is not the word I use frequently, because I've learned to understand that fear is a puller.
Mm-hmm.
It pulls you down.
Yeah.
And it's true, it's a word that exists in the dictionary. But you can turn your fear into great power. Anything that you fear,
mm-hmm.
is something that can make you great.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Fear is not a word I accept. You are my student. Mm-hmm. I used to tell you people.
Mm-hmm.
I respect every other thing, but I don't fear.
Yes.
I don't fear. Fear is not one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because the minute you fear, you start losing self-esteem. Mm-hmm. You start being not sure of yourself.
Yes, many things start limiting you.
Yes, you start getting those little
negative
voices
questions
that set in the fear, and you are just gripped, and you can't even stand in a crowd of just 5 persons.
And like you rightly said, fear comes when you're about to do something groundbreaking, and then the fear comes to scare you.
If you let it to consume you, then it really consumes you. But when you take that leap of faith and you say, I can go through, you go through.
Mm-hmm.
Sincerely speaking.
All right. Let's talk about Mboskuda.
Yeah. Mboskuda, the journalist in me is something, it's just me.
Mm-hmm.
I love the kitchen, it is true. I love teaching students, trying to see that new journalists come up every other day. It is true. Practicing as a journalist is equally something I love.
Mm-hmm.
I love to see the smiles that the audience can feel, however way, because of a story. And that's exactly what I'm doing for Mboskuda. Mboskuda, I'm working with a group of disadvantaged people.
Mm-hmm.
Not disadvantaged that naturally they were, but disadvantaged from societal branding.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a joy for me that I'm breaking the barriers that this my people, this my special people, because Mbororos as a special group of people, I'm happy to be able to be part of this development journey for them.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's why I'm working in Mboskuda.
Okay. Well, we were able to put together a report talking about multitasking, women, why some prefer not to engage in multitasking, the challenges that most of them face. And Wonja Leslie put together something. We'll listen to it. And when we come back, we talk a little about women and multitasking.
Some women today have taken the challenge of engaging themselves in multitasking, that is, engaging themselves in many activities or jobs at the same time in order to reap more benefits such as financial benefits and others. Even though British psychologists have confirmed that women are better than men at multitasking, women often face some major and minor challenges as they go along with multitasking. First, women, especially married women, are often persecuted by their husbands for keeping them lonely or in the name of multitasking. Just as Cameroonian artist Niken said in one of his tracks titled Mami Wata, go for night, you come for night, now which kind of time we go naktori. Some men often boo at their wives and even stop them from multitasking because for the men, there is always nobody to lean on their shoulders and call them darling. Again, when it comes to feeding the family, women are always in charge. Multitasking is therefore not easy for some women to come back on time and start cooking. Another challenge faced by women in multitask positions is that they always have little or no time to give their children parental care, given the fact that women contribute a lot in child upbringing. Women involved in multitasking are often exposed to some illnesses which come as a result of stress, such as nerve problems, high blood pressure, accelerated aging, and more. Because of these challenges, some women, mostly the weaker ones, are sometimes afraid to get engaged in multitasking. However, there are many benefits enjoyed by women who get into multitasking. First, it should be noted that even though a man frowns at his wife due to her prolonged absence caused by so many activities, that same man will never be happy when that woman depends on him for everything. Women who get engaged in multitasking therefore often help their husbands to raise more funds to take care of the family rather than depending on the man for the least 25 francs to buy Maggi. Women in multitasking positions always dress well and look neat, even if their husbands do not give them enough money. Women who carry out different activities always keep themselves busy, making it a form of exercise which is so vital to the body and keeps them free from illnesses caused by lack of adequate exercise.
All right, thank you very much, Wonja Leslie. Now, coming back to you, Bisivia Atanga, according to you, what are some of the things that you think prevent women from engaging in multiple tasks?
The first thing is fear, like I said. Lack of confidence. You are not sure of what you can even offer. Most women don't know that they carry skills with them. Especially, I mean, let me just create a scenario. A woman gets married to a man, and the man, for whatever reason, discovers the potentials of this lady and feels that if I should open the door and let this woman fly, this woman can have money more than me, and decides to ground this woman. Then knows that this woman, given the opportunity, can be a great woman. Now, if you are not strong as a woman in that scenario, and because you like, in quotes, your husband, you want to keep your home, you can shelf your potentials and just stay quiet. But with desires in you. And I tell women, that is not the way to go about it. That is not the way to go about it. You can't take away what will make me happy, what will make me feel important. Because the truth
fulfilled.
Is, and fulfilled. It's very, very important. Our parents spent a lot of money and time investing on us. They didn't send me to school to come and be your punching bag. No.
Certainly.
They sent me to come and see how we can all grow Cameroon and move it forward.
And make them proud as
And make them proud as well. My parents spent a lot of money. I should be able to have my own money and even do same for other people and feel gratified for doing something good in society. You understand? So, I don't believe in fear, as I would say. Women, please. You should not fear. You should respect. And you should dialogue. Dialogue. Know the way you put through
your points.
Your points. In a way that makes sense. I know that naturally we can be very mouthy. Men will say that we are mouthy. But an intelligent woman knows that. It's not being mouthy that makes you heard.
Yeah, certainly.
Not at all. You can talk with facts, chronological facts, and somebody can understand you. It's as easy as that. So I'll say one thing that pulls women away from multitasking is fear. Another thing is lack of focus. All of what I'm doing is because I'm focused. There is a lot of planning along the way. If you can't tell me that you sleep, you go to bed, and you don't know how your tomorrow should look like. That is about the planning I'm talking about. You should be able to go to bed knowing that, okay, I'm getting up tomorrow. I have to do this. I have to do that. I have to do that. That's the only other way you can work well with multitasking. Time is precious. There is no time to waste. Yeah. If you plan yourself like that, then you can move and do
many things
at
the same time.
But if you don't have the aptitude for, don't venture in it.
If you don't have the aptitude, like...
Like, if too much work overwhelms you,
okay,
don't get in. It means that you are not suited for multitasking. Yeah. It means that you should be able to look for one thing that you are good in, be and focused on that one thing,
and
plan yourself well, and do it excellently. Always ask yourself if you have the aptitude for what activity.
You know, there is this passage in the Bible that I love so much, and since we are talking about multitasking, I cannot stay without sharing. It talks the story of the three talents in the Bible. They say God gives to each one according to his ability. To one he gave one talent, to another he gave two, and to another he gave five. So the preacher who talked, who was talking extensively on that topic, said it means God gives to each person first of all according to their ability. And because the servants that he put in charge of the talents, the way they managed it, he was able to give them more or not.
Exactly.
The one who had one didn't do anything with his own talent, and so it was even taken away from him. But then the others were able to use it very well for the service of mankind, to the extent that the person who gave the talent was pleased and had to bless them with many more talents.
Exactly.
And so when I looked at it, I said to myself, my own lesson I learned from that was, you have to first of all show the ability to do that. And when you manage one thing well, you discover that you can make time to start managing another thing. And when you manage two well, you can have the experience to manage three. And so that is how it goes.
Exactly.
Because we have the habit of admiring people who say, this person has been, he is this, he is that. When they call all of your offices or your portfolio and everything, it makes you proud. And so most often we tend to admire people who do many things at the same time. But then can we do that?
We can, if we are focused. Why do I say so? The story I've just shared, the stories I've been sharing here might sound, so sleek, so smooth. No. The storms will come.
Yeah.
You will find yourself investing in something and it's not really working.
It happens very frequently.
And you're wondering what is happening. Some people might be tempted to just stop that business at that level.
Yeah.
No.
Very possible.
No. You must show resilience in everything. You must be patient. And you must put, I believe a lot in God and I work a lot with God. You understand? I pray a lot. Everything I set out to do, I have one person I talk with, and that is God. And then I move ahead with the conviction that this is the path that God has laid for me. And if I pursue it, fine, I can reach there. It's baby steps. I am where I am with the catering business. It didn't just spring up and be big the way it is now. No, I took baby steps.
Learning from your
learning mistakes. small from catching for 30 people, you can add 50, 100, and now 500 and whatever, but it is baby steps. You learn along the way. You keep learning from your mistakes. You keep seeing your pitfalls and be open. Know that there are some people who are in this business before you. See them as your elders. It's no competition. You understand? It's no competition at all. But be humble enough to move up to somebody who is doing it before you, but doing it so well, and you recognize it. And you ask, sister, this thing like this, I'm facing this kind of difficulties. All it takes is humility.
Yeah.
My humility has taken me to places that I cannot begin to recount here. You should not be proud about anything. Because if the God who gave you was proud, you wouldn't have been there.
You would just crush you at the same time or another.
You should know that there is something I usually tell my friends. I believe a lot in holding hands. What do I mean by holding hands? I don't believe in I being as I am like this, and then my friend is there wallowing in pain, not knowing what to do, and I call myself that friend's friend. No, I don't believe in that. If you are a weak-minded person and you come close to me, you'll become strong like me. That's my own little way that I try to impact and make women feel comfortable being women. It's no crime. It's no weakness being a woman.
Yeah.
I'm a woman, but I know I'm a very strong woman. Because weakness has never been a part of me.
There are some men who are weaker, far weaker than some women.
It depends on what you tell yourself. And all of the things that you tell yourself comes from your perception of issues. Try being positive for once. Most women, I'm sorry to say, but most women carry a lot of negativity around them.
Yeah, it's true.
And those negative thoughts are down pullers. You should be able to see good things and recognize that they are good things. And then try to,
To get
and
involved.
Avoid the negatives. Stop the gossip. Stop being jealous. It's not necessary. When you see a good thing, know that it's a good thing. Appreciate it right in front of that person. Unfortunately, we are of a gender that women... It's not easy for a woman to tell another woman, oh, you look very beautiful. I don't know, for whatever reason. You shouldn't be like that. You should be open. You should be humble, at the same time, respectful.
Free-minded.
Feel free-minded. Stop clutching yourself in some dark rooms for nothing.
Yeah.
I don't believe in that.
Limiting you.
Those things are killers. They limit you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you fail to recognize that, oh, I could cook too, you know, mm-hmm. or this salon thing, I could do it mm-hmm. too, you know. Instead of trying to see what you can do, you keep on looking at what the other person is doing.
Yeah, very critical.
What?
And they are there advancing. You are remaining on the same position.
It's not.
Well, we'll take another break. And when we come back, we'll talk about your driving philosophy and equally take a look at the quote of the day.
Today's woman knows no fear but is limited by respect and dignity. Today's woman has virtue and accomplishment has become a fashion trend. Despite the fact that some women still feel limited, unfit and unimportant, yet only today's woman has the keys to completely redeem her peers and society by preaching against excesses and restoring dignity.
Today's women, they need to be God-fearing, God-loving, and they need to be virtuous women, that is hardworking and industrious. And they need to be supportive to their husband, to their children, family, and the community as a whole.
Cameroon woman of today is not like the one yesterday. Not that we've been changed biologically, we are who we are. But we have now, I think we have been emancipated to a level that we think we can stand ourselves. Compare with the men, but not overthrowing the men, we know they are ahead of us.
I can see that today's woman is really an evolved woman. Is no longer a woman who thinks that the best she can do is be in the kitchen and cook for the husband. She's a woman who is more assertive. And I can see that they too, they are doing their best to make sure that their rights are respected.
I see today's woman as a woman who brings love, comfort, peace and prosperity in home and in society.
One thing I believe, God, is that God has put so much into women that if they submit themselves under the care and under the hand and the leadership of God, God will use them to build the community that we desire in our time. In Jesus' name.
Welcome back, dear listeners, and thanks for staying with us on the program. You are on the Today's Woman show on Foundation Radio, and we have been talking to our guest, who is B. Sylvia Atanga, and we have been talking to her on the basis of multitasking, women and multitasking. It's not so difficult. She is into it. She has been succeeding, and why not you? And I hope you have been listening to her speak. You have been taking down some tips, and hopefully you see yourself getting engaged in multiple activities that are beneficial to yourself, your family, your society, and why not our nation. And let's talk about your driving philosophy. Yeah, we know in school, I don't know if it's from you, but they always made us to understand that you should have a driving philosophy, something that is peculiar about you and that keeps you going. We don't know if you have a driving philosophy.
I do.
Yeah.
The first thing is, let me borrow a bit from President Barack Obama's campaign slogan.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I can. That's what I tell myself.
Mm-hmm.
If X had done it, Y had done it, yes, I can.
You can also do it.
Yes. I believe in me. You should be able to believe in yourself, believe in your desires, believe in the dreams that you carry with you. Because the dreams by themselves are nothing. The dreams are just catalysts for you to work hard to achieve. Now, if you dream and you keep dreaming and you keep dreaming, nothing happens.
Yeah, you remain on the same spot.
Yeah, you remain in the same spot. But if you dream and you take a leap, however small that leap is, and you keep leaping, small, you will definitely reach there sometimes.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about, you have been talking so much addressing women and girls, but then let's take it formally. Are there some particular things that you think women and girls should know in today's contemporary society? What should today's woman know?
The first thing I will say today's woman should know is that gone are the days when you say, oh, my husband will do it. The children's fees, my husband will pay, or the rent, or the house, or whatever. Gone are those days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have brothers, and I talk a lot with my brothers, and I get to see a snap, just a little snap view of a man's mind with my brothers. And my brothers tell me that they can't even date a girl who is not doing anything.
Yeah.
I mean, my young brother, who is not even married, he's still in school. He tells me in the future, he cannot.
You see?
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
That is saying something about today's man.
Okay, today's man as
about
well.
About today's man.
Yeah.
Today's man wants a contemporary woman, a woman who can act, a woman who can even act sometimes more than him.
Mm-hmm.
If they, I mean, if the opportunity or the situation should arise.
Yes.
And women are breaking grounds in that. There are lots and lots of strong women I know who are breadwinners in their family.
Yeah.
Even with their husbands in existence.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
And it happens so often that even when you want to fold your arms, there come a time in your marriage when your husband really can't do everything on his own.
It is not practicable. The economic crisis is faced in the world. It's not only Cameroon story.
Mm-hmm.
In the US, in the UK, in Nigeria, everywhere, you know, the Naira has even gone down.
Yeah, it has
so
dropped.
So there is an economic havoc in the world in a way that you can't even afford to sit. Today's woman should know that. Please, even if it is just call box, mommy, do it. Don't sit like that. There can be no empowerment without economic power.
Wow.
It's as easy and simple as that. Don't tell me that a child is convulsing, your little baby, your beautiful little baby is convulsing. You can't rush that child
to the hospital
before calling your husband. You want to call your husband.
To run and come.
Before
or to
he comes,
ask
the
you
baby
to...
is gone.
Yeah.
Because you didn't have money.
Because you were waiting. And at times they use it to abuse you and to limit you.
Ladies, you are not liabilities. You are partners, forces in this development story.
Yeah.
You have
to support one another.
Discover it, use it, and move forward, please.
All right, let's talk about the quote of the day briefly as we close. It says, if your dreams do not scare you, they are not big enough. It's almost the same like what you were talking a while ago, that you should dream big and get involved, get engaged, start something, and
start
don't just
something.
Dream.
Take leaps, please.
Yeah. So let's just have your say on the quote of the day.
Okay, I'm happy. I see that the quote is coming from Ellen Johnson. If you don't know whom Ellen Johnson is, she's the president of Liberia. Telling you that even as a woman, she dared and she became a president. So it means that she even dreamt that one day.
Challenging dreams.
Challenging dreams. And behold, today, she's still in power in her country. That is to say that a woman should dream big. And don't be afraid to dream. Some people even fear to dream. I often
they say,
hey,
that is far-fetched.
Yes.
Building castles in the air.
Dare yourself. And you will be surprised at what you will discover about yourself. All of us have potentials. All of us have desires. Don't cut short any of it because you are afraid of whatever thing. Fear should not be a part of you.
Well, thank you very, very much, Bisivia Tanga. It has been a very interesting conversation, and we hope our listeners equally gathered so much from it. Thank you again for coming.
Thank you, Remy Bell. Anytime.
Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us on the program. Thanks very much. We want to say bye-bye from this end, wishing you a good day in the company of our programs.